We're in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We got 35 verses. Let's just read. If we go 5 verses apiece, the 7 of us can read. So that'll be pretty good. It's about, we might, that should work. So let's just read through the whole thing. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us spirits to listen. Hearts to receive and believe. Lord, and minds to focus. God, and not to be distracted. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in eyes. In thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Amen. 11.
My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with.
Amen. 16. Okay.
Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down.
My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh.
For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm.
Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, and he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools.
Yeah. So, it's good, eh? Yeah. It's good.
Let's read it again. I want to read it again. I just want to hear it again. Let's just pick it up. Verse 1, we'll go through 5 verses again.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be hell to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall, yes, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her.
Amen. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew.
My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lay down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lay down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes.
For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy food from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is dear, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing that he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm.
Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of
the Lord. Sure.
He said, no, he must be low.
Seeing it now. Okay. What stands out? Anything standing out?
My favorite verse. Just in the Lord of your heart.
Yes. That's one of those ones you learned in VBS or Sunday school. Yes. Amen.
The goodness of God, what He wants for us, truly wants for us to live. Look at all these. So obviously it shows I'm looking from a Christian side, walking with the Lord, just goodness that He wants to bless us with. So it's not going to look like goodness through our eyes, fleshly eyes, but through the spiritual eyes, if you really look inward, like Thomas was saying, the inward man, inner man, it cannot be bad.
Amen.
So I'm not saying things cannot be bad, but spiritually it
with
cannot
God.
Be bad.
Amen.
And just the goodness, that's what comes up for me while I was reading this. It's just Paul. Obviously, I'm supposed to also learn from the bad things in between. But I'm having a really good experience this week with the goodness of the Lord for my life. And I don't think just reading it again would just be better. No better way than learning it than having the Lord read it to you.
I'm looking for my pen. Did you have my pen over there?
Could be.
So, yeah, thank you.
Sorry. No, okay. I get three pens at work, so I think I'll just bring a box for church.
Okay, cool. So as you were just talking, I just thought of this. Let's just do this real quick. Just in chapter 3, look at all the promises. Let's start with the promises. Now, I know that's kind of the end, but let's start with the end. Sometimes it's good to start with the end in mind. What's the goal? What are we going to get out of this thing, you know? So let's look at the promises. What's the first promise you guys are seeing?
The wise shall inherit glory.
There's one earlier than that.
Length of days and long life and peace.
Yes. Okay, so the first promise is verse 2. So right now we're just going to look at the promises. Verse 2 is the first promise. Length of days, long life, peace. Length of days, long life, peace. Sounds good to me. I like those.
Yeah.
You say Jesus only lived to 33. No, he didn't. He's still alive. You're talking about length of days. Okay, next promise.
That you'll find favor.
Verse 4.
And good understanding.
Favor and good understanding.
That also sounds nice.
Favor and good understanding. And then we see in the sight of God and man. Just like Jesus, right? He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and man. Luke 2:52, right? Okay. Next promise.
Direct your paths.
Yes. End of verse 6. Verse 6b. He shall, not maybe, not might, he shall direct thy paths. By the way, in the King James Bible, shall is absolute. Absolute. Will is not necessarily absolute. Will could be, sometimes it will happen, but sometimes it's also saying, it's my will. I will that it would happen, but it might not. But shall is absolute. Shall is absolute.
Health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones.
Verse 8. Health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Amen. I'll take that one. I got some skinny bones and my gut's been a mess for the last 3 years. But guess what? He's restoring. I can feel it. My stomach feels so good today. It feels so good. Marrow to thy bones. Okay, what else? Next one.
Your barns will be full of abundance.
Yes, verse 10. Barns filled with plenty. Presses burst out with new wine. I like that.
Like an overflow.
Yeah. I like it. Barns filled with plenty. Presses. Press. you know, you burst out. Okay, what else?
I would consider 12 as well, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. I mean, if you're alone in life and you don't have guidance, it's tough. So that's what I would consider it, a promise as well.
That is kind of a promise, yeah.
Yeah.
Not an enjoyable one, but it is.
But it's a good one afterward. God's correction really is the promise there.
Well, I suppose it's the Lord's love.
Yeah. Correction. I think you can be corrected out of anger as well. And I think it's the love. Like this week, I've been corrected by someone who loves the Lord, and I was scared up front, and it's completely different to my dad. Not that I say my dad doesn't know the Lord or love him, but from my dad correcting me into someone who is a lover of Jesus, it's been a completely different experience. Obviously, the flesh was like, okay, you're coming. And the spirit's like, oh yes, here it comes. And I really took it to heart, and it was actually a very great experience.
I must say, that's one thing. So when I was being crushed, the one thing I said to Tesh, the peace that I had in that is that I know God was concerned with me and he was loving on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the comfort, although it wasn't pleasant.
Yes.
I just knew that, like, I was in his presence, he was concerned with me, like, you know, his spirit was with me, and that was comforting. So I think that's what it said, for whom the Lord loveth, so you know that he loves you if he corrects you.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's a comforting thing.
Yeah.
That the God of the universe loves you.
So I guess the promise can go both ways. So in the verse, the way it's worded, the primary promise is that he'll correct you. He's saying, for whom he loves, what does he do? He corrects. So the correction is the promise. It's a promise. I'll be corrected by God. But you can look at it in reverse, which is what you're saying, and the promise can be God's love in correction.
Yeah.
Or God's love.
With the emphasis is on also section B, where it says, just as a father, the son in whom he delights.
Yes.
If you're not getting corrected, God doesn't delight.
Right, exactly.
That's emphasizing what you're saying. Yeah.
So that we'll say God's love and delight in us.
I mean, if you think of heaven and hell, the different, like, people go, they think of these places, and the one is torture and the one is just paradise. But what it essentially is, it's in the presence of the Lord or absent from the Lord. That's essentially what heaven and hell. Hell is absent from God, which is just dark. There's no love. There's nothing. There's no relationship. That's essentially what it is. Separation or relation.
It's partially true, yeah. You're half right. But it's not 100% right, and here's why. Because there are people on earth who walk in the presence of the Lord, and there are people on earth who are separated from God. They don't walk in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah,
and we're still on earth.
Yeah, I'm saying not on earth. So when you die,
I know,
heaven and hell is basically...
Yes. But the point I'm trying to make, though, is that heaven isn't just that we're in the presence of the Lord. And hell isn't just that we're apart from the presence of the Lord. Because there are people on earth who are in the presence of the Lord, but we're not actually in heaven yet, and yet part of us is in heaven, I know. But and there are people right now on earth who are apart from the presence of the Lord, but they're not in hell yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm talking about when the new heaven and the earth come.
Yeah.
Not to throw a spanner in the spokes, but when Lazarus was in hell and he asked...
You're talking about the rich man.
The rich man.
Yeah.
Lazarus.
No, not Lazarus, it was the rich man.
It was the rich man.
Yeah, the rich man was in hell.
Sorry. Yeah. Asking Lazarus in heaven. He was still in the presence of the Lord. Because he could see heaven out of hell. And he asked for a drop of water. So I don't think wherever we go we're gonna leave God's presence. It's where he finds favor in us and where he doesn't find favor in us. That's just, I'm just remembering that scripture, and I'm one of those, sorry. The paradigm is that, who created hell?
God.
God created hell.
You better believe it.
And where's hell's keys are locked from the inside, not to get off topic, I can...
Yeah. No, yeah, we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
The heart of what Jonathan was saying, I understand it. I agree with the heart of what he's saying, but I'm just saying, technically speaking, it's not just the presence of God that makes it heaven, and it's not just being absent from God that makes it hell. Because what I was saying is, you could be on earth and you could be in the presence, you could be out of the presence. Heaven is a beautiful, wonderful, glorious place of eternity. And yes, what makes it so great is God's presence, of course. That's what makes it so great. We're in the presence of God. We're fellowshipping. We're worshiping Him. And hell, what makes it so horrible is that the people who are going to be there are going to be separated from God. But it's not just separation. There's also torments and pain and agony and all that stuff. So I think that was just, I'm just being very technical. Yeah. That's all. Being very technical. Yeah. But the heart of what you're saying, I'm in agreement with.
But it's good because there's a doctrine in South Africa that believes that heaven and hell is a state of mind, and it's very good to point that out.
That's right. Many people I meet on the streets go, "This is hell, man," and I go, "No, it's not." When you wake up in hell, you wish to God that you realize this wasn't hell, because you'd long to be back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could. Yeah. Okay, back on the premises.
Happy.
Verse 13, happy. Yes. Verse 13, happy. Happy is the man. Amen. Next promise.
Length of days.
Yes. Length of days.
Riches.
Oh, there. Come on now. Oh, man. Next one. Pleasantness. Ways of pleasantness. Wouldn't you love your life to be just ways of pleasantness. Come on now.
<I'm> brilliant.
And peace. Paths of peace.
But all the paths.
All the paths, that's right.
No matter which one you take.
Yeah.
It's going to be a peaceful one.
You know, I think it's just interesting to make a point of that there are many paths on the journey with the Lord. It's not just one path. Now, in the end, there's only one way. There's only one gate. There's a straight gate. There's a narrow way to get through into it. But He's got lots of different paths that He can take us on, different journeys. In the end, we're going to all end up in the same place. But and all those paths, wisdom's paths, once you come in through the straight gate, once you come in through that gate, through the narrow way, and now you've entered in, there's different paths that He's going to send us on. We're not all necessarily in the exact same journey. In some ways, generally, we're on the same journey. The journey is the holiness to the glory of God, to everything, to just bring glory to Him. So yeah, in that sense, the Father's will. But, you know, there's many paths. I think we see...
Tree of life.
Tree of life.
Jesus is in tree of life.
The tree of life. Funny, I just did doing Bible studies with a neighbor of mine. He's never really read the Bible, you know? And been a Christian most of his life. And nobody's ever helped him. So I said, let's just start reading the Bible again, you know? So I asked him, where do you want to read? Where do you want to stand? The Lord telling you? He's like, I feel like I should start from the beginning. Let's start in Genesis. So we're just going through Genesis, just very slowly. We just read, and I just ask him, what do you see? You know, we're just kind of, and you can just see, he's like, he's excited. He's getting it. He's taking notes now, and he's starting to read it for himself. And just pray, Lord, help him stay on this path. But I say all that because we just did Genesis 3 the other day, the tree of life. And at the end of Genesis 3, male and female, are kicked out, and the way for the tree of life is blocked by a flaming sword. You ain't getting in. But Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. And so through Christ, we finally get access back here.
And he is the life.
Exactly. He's the way. He's the truth. He is the life. When you get to the tree of life and eat, you realize that's it. Amen. Tree of life and happiness again. Tree of life and more happiness. As if you didn't have enough already. Okay. Next promise.
Life unto thy soul. I don't know if I skipped something in that process.
Life to your soul. You'll have life in your soul, absolutely. And?
Grace.
Grace to your neck.
Reminds me of the prodigal son and the father embraced him and kissed him on the neck.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Grace.
I haven't studied the neck, to be honest. But I bet you there's something good there. And I'm just thinking, as I'm thinking now, scriptures are coming through my mind. And I'm just thinking about, you know, that stiff neck. He warns about stiff neck. And talks about Israel and Pharaoh, you know, stiff neck, heart. You know, it's like, I don't know, something about the neck. But here, this is grace to the neck. So I think it's to make it soft so that what comes in here can go down here, you know. There's probably some connection between that, because, you know, if my neck's all stiff, it might go in my ears, but it's never getting to my heart, you know, and the devil can just take it out of there. It never can go down and take root. But if I got grace in my neck, you know, that's soft, like I can just receive, I can listen, I can drink. You know how many people I watch, oh, God have mercy. They don't know how to listen. They don't know. All they know how to do is talk. They can't stop and listen and drink. They can't sense when they're in the presence of someone who can help them.
So someone like that last night. Going and pray for him like this, but he's talking to you. Even when you're trying to pray, they blabbering all the time.
Lord, grace to the neck. Amen. Okay.
Walk safely.
Amen. Walk safely. What verse is that?
23. No, put you on the stumble.
Walk safely. No stumbling. Come on now. Let's go to 1 John real quick. I gotta bring this thing up. We gotta hit all these junky things that we repeat to ourselves that are lies. Let's hit it. 1 John. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I'll find it real quick. I just know it's in here. Yeah, there it is. Chapter 2, verse 10. How many times have you heard, and how many times have you told yourself, well, I know we're going to stumble. We know we're going to stumble. Right? We've all told ourselves that. And we tell other Christians, don't worry, you're going to stumble. Well, he just said, he'll keep, what did he say? Your foot shall not stumble. Look at 1 John 2, verse 10. Someone read that.
He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him.
Look at that. None occasion, no cause of stumbling. Let's believe the word of God, eh? Let's believe the truth. Let's stop telling ourselves we have to stumble when God just says, you don't have to. You walk in me. You love your brother. You walk in love. You ain't going to stumble. Sure-footed. You know, I mean, it's possible. I think it's possible as a runner to get to where you're really sure-footed. You can run, and you ain't stumbling. You know? Let's believe that spiritually. It's a promise. Let's go for it. Let's trust God.
Verse 24, when you lie down.
You will not be afraid.
No fear.
No fear. Even when you're at your most vulnerable position. You know, the most vulnerable person is when they're sleeping.
Sweet sleep.
No fear.
No fear, sweet sleep.
Amen.
I like that one.
I like that one too. Okay. Anything else? Next promise. Confidence. The Lord equals confidence. Our confidence. And he'll keep your foot from being taken. So that's almost like from being ensnared or being like someone trying to pull out from underneath you. Yeah, try to, yes. You're not going to be tripped up. Nobody else is going to, the devil's not going to be able to, oh no, I didn't see that coming. No, he'll keep your foot from being taken. It's almost like a promise of not falling in temptation.
No, in a trap or something, in danger.
Okay. Anything else? Are there any other promises?
Not be afraid when you go to sleep, basically. There's no anxiety when you go to rest, because I think that's probably the time that you are most vulnerable to any attack, is when you are sleeping. Because for the body, the soul might still be awake, but the body is asleep.
It's true.
And that's usually the time that the enemy can use to plan and to work.
Amen. It's very true. That's when he works, is in darkness.
And your sleep, I love sleep, so your sleep shall be sweet. Not that I get a lot of sleep, but I really like, I think the Lord has, I used to sleep a lot, now I don't, so now when I do get good sleep, I'm truly thankful.
Hey, bud.
I think and it doesn't say you will sleep long, it says your sleep shall be sweet.
Yes.
And I think at the end of the day, when I came to terms with, there's other things to do when I do wake up at night. Whether it's an hour or 6 hours, I usually tend to, the first time I wake up, feel like I've slept for long. And then it's a bit difficult when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you spend time with the Lord and it's like 3:30. I need to get to work only at 8. So me and the Lord are still working those hours out, what to do with them, because going back to sleep doesn't work.
No, it's tough. Yeah. I'm on the same schedule. I'm usually up from midnight till about 3:30, 4, usually. He's got me on that schedule. But it's good. Prayer, watch over the kids, pray over them, watch over the family, pray over them. It's good stuff to happen.
And he's training us for eternity because it won't be any night. So
we
probably
won't
sleep.
Yeah, we won't sleep.
You won't need to sleep. You won't need to rest. Rest.
Amen. Also, just a neat hidden, deeper meaning. Remember when Lazarus died, Jesus says, we're going to go wake him up. He's sleeping. So the Lord refers to death as sleep. So he says, you'll lie down. You know, when you lie down, you won't be afraid. When the day comes for you to die, the Lord says, you're just going to sleep. Don't be afraid. When death is coming on you, don't worry, your sleep's going to be sweet. You're going to go to sleep. You're going to wake up in heaven.
Just wonder, like, that experience, like, thinking, I don't think we will ever be able to, we can imagine.
No.
But if God is above our understanding, I can just imagine, like, the craziest imagination you can of heaven, good luck, because it's going to be like, above the... So yes. Just like thinking, going to sleep tonight, like, okay, tomorrow when I wake up, I go to work, and then when you wake up, it's just like,
singing,
and
peace, and go. Amen. Amen. Okay, 34, he giveth grace. Oh, no, wait, missed 30. Wait, we missed a few, hold on. 32B. My fault, 32B. Secret. The Lord's secret. He'll give you the, he'll reveal the Lord's secret. But there's a verse in Amos. I don't know if you guys ever read this. Have you read this verse in Amos?
You go read these books, and when you get to heaven, you go, ah, I'm Amos.
I know you.
What's that verse? Amos 3, verse 7. It's a good verse. This is pretty profound. Amos is a great book. Amos is actually a very relevant book for the day and age we live. Amos 3, verse 7. This is quite a verse. So now if you back up a verse, it's interesting. He says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? And the answer is, shall a trumpet be blown? No. I mean, of course, if a trumpet's blown in the city, the people are going to be afraid, you know. Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? And the answer is, no, of course, the Lord is the one who brought it. You know, if there's evil judgment coming upon a city, that's the Lord who brought that, you know. And verse 7, he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but, it's saying he's not going to do anything without, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So he just said, God won't do anything unless he first reveals his secret of what he's about to do. He'll reveal it to his servants, the prophets. It's quite a verse, eh? Mm-hmm. He'll do nothing without...
So basically like a warning.
Yeah, the point is God doesn't just do things and everybody was caught off guard. Yeah. It's impossible. God will always reveal what he's about to do to his servants, the prophets. Always.
Then there's no excuse, because I think it might be in John, a verse that says, you haven't known. So basically, I don't know it for part, but it's basically you haven't known, so you can be excused. But now I have told you, and therefore there is no excuse anymore.
Exactly. Well, even look at the next verse there, in Amos 3, verse 8. It says, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath, God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So the idea is what God does is if he's going to do something, but before he does it, he reveals it to one of his servants. And when he speaks to you, you can't help but you got to speak it. If the Lord's spoken, you got to prophesy. Who can but prophesy? I mean, Jeremiah tried to keep it in at one point. Jeremiah goes, dude, I've faced so much affliction. I've made so much adversity. I ain't speaking in his name anymore. Done. And he goes... And while I was musing, while I was sitting there thinking, musing means to think, while I'm sitting there musing, the fire burned within me, and I had to speak. Like, sometimes you try, you know, sometimes you're like, you know, I'm done, I'm not gonna, because you always seem like the enemy.
Yeah.
When you speak the truth, especially when you're in an environment of people who just, like right here, we got a friendly environment. But when you're in an environment of like, people who are just deceived or whatever, you're the enemy every time. And you go, I'm not going to do it anymore. But then you find yourself, you can't help it. Just getting yourself in trouble again. The Lord's secret. He'll give the Lord's secret. Now, that promise is only for the righteous. Okay. Verse 33. Blessing on your home. Amen. Blessing on your home. Verse 34.
Gives grace to the lowly.
Gives grace. You'll receive grace.
To the humble.
And verse 35, last one.
Your Lord.
Come on now. Yes. You'll inherit glory.
The Lord's glory.
The Lord's glory.
Yes.
Listen. If God is real, if he's really real, if this is real, this is my logical mind thinking. I was going to go back. I'm trying to sort through this stuff. I'm going, look, all right, if God's real, he's really
There's a really an all-powerful, almighty, all-wise God who has an eternal kingdom of splendor and honor and glory and peace and righteousness. Like that's so beyond anything we've ever touched or tasted or felt. If that's real. And if I choose his path and I do this thing, in the end, I'm going to partake of that glory. What else can seduce you anymore? What else can entice you? What else can trap you? What else can allure you and pull you aside if you really believe in the eternal glory of the eternal God and you can partake of it? You can inherit it. What are you going to inherit on this earth? What are you going to get? Like, come on, this stuff all falls up. Come on, aren't we past the glitz and the glamour? Like, does a Mercedes-Benz still do something for you? Does a Land Rover really do something for you?
Not until the next version comes out.
That was the first installment.
Until the first tire replacement.
But I'm saying, like, realistically, you know, like, look, it's not that we can't appreciate and see the difference between garbage and beauty, you know? Like, obviously, we're not foolish. You can see the difference between someone who's built, you know, a quality mansion versus like a shack, you know? Like, I mean, I can see the difference. But if that still has, like, if that's my allurement that's drawing me and enticing me and leading me into a different path, then I don't know if I really believe in the eternal God and the eternal glory of God. I don't know if I really get it yet.
How do you define glory?
It's a big word. So with words, there's like building block words that are very basic, simple. And then there's, you know, words that are a little bit, maybe it takes two or three words to understand that word. And then there's some words that are like at the top of a pyramid. And it takes a whole bunch of words and understanding to really get the full meaning of just that one word. I think glory is kind of like one of those. So,
because the Amplified here, the Amplified here says, he read glory and says, in brackets, in all honor and good. So that's some of the words in trying to make it up. All honor and good.
Yeah. It's big.
But
we're not indescribable, and that is what I think, how you know it is from the Lord. Like the Lord's glory, you can think in an earthly term, glorious, like being praised for something, if I have to take it that way, the way I understand it. But reading it out of this verse, yeah, the why shall inherit glory, like my mind, my spirit can feel what the word means, but my mind cannot put it into words. Like, that is how I'm experiencing the glory spoken of, yeah. And the same with the love of God, the grace of God. Like, people try, sometimes I need to explain it to them, and I say, you know, I cannot explain it, but I can feel it. Like, sometimes I wish, last night, I was wishing if I could have one true gift last night, it would have been the way, the love I felt last night from the Lord. If I can just touch someone, they could feel it, like, instantly. And, yeah, so that's why, like, the feeling, the glory, I cannot describe it.
Yeah.
I think, like Adam just now said, this is just my logic thinking. Like, sometimes my logic also, what is glory? What does it look like? What is it? What is glory? And I think most of the things, to me, it's the feeling. I can feel it, but I cannot explain it.
It's like last night, so at the end, when we got together to pray, and then there's one of the homeless guys who put, you know, yeah, he says he wants to pray for us, and then Clint said, okay, and then he starts with praying, but it's like very
shaky
prayer, and then next moment, it's like, we all like, look at each other, like, let's give him a chance, and then the next moment, he's just, so he's like a little bit drunk, everything, and he starts praying, and next moment, the whole prayer changed around, and it's like, this is not Rupert praying. Everybody is like there. And when you finish prayer, everybody's just there. It's like, we knew this was not, this was God.
Yeah, I was crying.
Yeah. And it's like honoring God, and yeah, and it's like, we all just did it. Everybody's eyes are big. Nobody said a word. So we all started like laughing, and next time, and I just prayed, this guy prays. He's like,
I felt ashamed that I laughed in the beginning.
Thank you, Lord.
And just the faces of the men who were laughing, we all just looked at each other like,
That was glory.
Sure.
And this guy, he just started off praying, and like, he's talking about something with God. You know that you can't do anything, but COVID is big, and it's like God can't control COVID, something like that. And it goes on next time, and the whole prayer changes. And it's like just words from God. It's like, that's amazing. That's glory.
Full expression of his love for God, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a relationship with God, guaranteed.
God can use anybody.
Yeah.
Never ever let somebody fool you. You think that somebody's not worth praying.
I missed out. I was supposed to be there. I wanted to be there. No, seriously, I purposed to go. I was planning on going, and then I had a meeting with Ray, and the meeting went longer than expected. I should have cut him earlier. It was my fault. I missed out. I knew I missed out too. I knew. Even though I wasn't even there, I go, I know tonight was amazing. I missed out.
But yes, just the end of it is like, this is just gone. This is only God. Because it's like this. And we all like, they're like, somebody gives you and like drops the mic, and I was like, oh, just put like, anybody else got something better to say? Everybody's like,
Moses hid himself in the crack on the mount.
Yeah.
When the presence of God came, Carlos showed me an image or a video on Facebook of a lion roaring, and it's very intimidating but glorious. And I just think that we can't handle God's glory. Like we won't handle it. Like not in our flesh.
Not right now. No, no, no.
Right now.
But the wise shall inherit glory.
That's awesome.
Come on. Now.
Maybe not now, but you don't know what.
Nothing else. That should make you want to be wise. That should make you want to pursue God's wisdom. I forgot I had no battery, so this is dying. But it's okay. We don't need a recording. It's okay. This is beautiful. Glory. There's a lot to glory. Maybe we'll discuss it another time. But I think for right now, we at least know it's beyond anything this earth can really bear. It will blow us. It just blows our mind, our hearts, our spirit. It's wonderful. It's very spiritual. Okay, so those are the promises. What time is it, by the way?
Quarter past eight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we finish, let me just read these promises real quick. Okay, these are promises. Length of days, long life, peace, favor, and good understanding. God shall direct your paths. Health to your navel, marrow to your bones, barns filled with plenty, and presses burst out with new wine. God's correction, but also God's love and Him delighting in us. Happy is the man. Length of days, riches, honor, ways are pleasantness. All her paths are peace. Tree of life and more happiness, life to your soul, grace to your neck, walk safely, no stumbling, no fear, sweet sleep. The Lord will be your confidence. Keep your foot from being taken. The Lord will reveal a secret to you. Blessing on your home. Receive grace from God, inherit glory. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, eh? Sure. That's just Proverbs 3.
Yeah, that's a lot of promises. That's a lot of promises. Mm-hmm.
Come on now. That's good. Now, real quick, let's just go through what are some of the things that allow those promises to become ours? Because those promises are not going to belong to everybody. So what are some of the things that allow those to become ours? So let's say conditions for the promise. What are some of the conditions? Because premises for the promise.
Don't forget the law.
Verse 1.
Don't forget
God's law. That's number 1. Number 2. Let your heart keep His commandments. Some people just do it outwardly, for sure. Let your heart keep it. Okay. Verse 3.
Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. So they can. You could have it for a little while. I got a little mercy to end you. No, don't let it forsake you. Bind it on your neck. Write it on your heart. So bind on neck. Write it on your heart. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. And in all your ways, verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Everything, every decision, everything. Ask God. God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? Acknowledge Him. 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Amen. It's a good one. Unless you're humble and walking with the Lord, pretty much everybody I know is wise in their own eyes. It doesn't mean they're wise. It just means they're wise in their own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. So whatever He gives you, either physical or spiritual, honor Him with it. It's from Him, belongs to Him, honor Him with it. And with the first fruits of all your increase, honor Him with the first fruits of all your increase. So the idea is like, give Him the first of everything you gain. Give God the first. Is He giving you more time? Give Him the first fruits of your time. Is He giving you more ideas? Give Him the first fruits of your ideas. Is He giving you more money? Give Him the first fruits of your money. Is He giving you more friends? Give Him the first fruits of your... I don't know. I'm just saying, everything that you get, whatever He increases to you, always give the first step. That's faith. That was the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain didn't give the first fruits. He just gave of the fruits. He gave of the fruit of the ground. So basically, God gave him first fruits. He says, oh, good, I can feed my family. And then later, as he got more in and the harvest came in, then he gave some leftovers to God. Want to make sure his family gets taken care of first, make sure his belly, you know, and then once everything's sorted, well, then if I got a little bit left, I give it to God. Abel gave the firstling of his flock and the fat. So when he got that first little baby lamb born, he goes, this ain't mine, this is God's. God gave this to me, I'm giving it to him. Giving him the first, I know God will give me more. That's called faith. To wait until everything comes in place and then I just throw some leftovers to God, that's not faith, that's Cain. You're walking the path of Cain when you're throwing him your leftovers. Just search the scriptures. God's first fruits.
Samuel's mom as well.
Hannah. Exactly. And he gave her like 6 more kids then. Yeah. Don't despise his chastening. It's verse 10.
Yeah.
Or verse 11, sorry. Don't despise his chastening. That's a good word. I think naturally at first we kind of despise it. That's immature and it's childish. Don't despise it. And don't be weary of his correction. Lord, help us with that. Sometimes we do get weary. God, how much more do I got to take? Well, stop. Knock it off. Why don't you just learn to stop sinning? The problem's not with God. The problem's with you. You keep doing the same dumb thing. Grow up. Stop. Get control of yourself. He doesn't have to keep spanking you. Hmm.
13. You got to find wisdom. You have to get understanding. It's not good enough to be around people who found it. This is why the whole, like, oh, well, my pastor studies the Bible. No. It doesn't matter if Dave Altman studied the Bible. You all need to be studying the Bible. Doesn't, you know, there's no, like, holy priest up there, and then we're just all, no. You're happy if you find wisdom, if you get it, not just if you're around people who have it. Now, obviously, if you're around people who have it, they'll help you find it and get it, but...
Getting understanding.
Yeah, get understanding. You have to lay hold on wisdom. It's verse 18. Lay hold on wisdom and retain wisdom. So now they just get it. Now they just find it. Now they just get it, but lay hold on it. Hold on to that thing and retain it. That means don't let it go. Don't let anybody steal it from you. Real quick, 2 John. It just makes me think of this scripture. It's a good scripture. Lay this one to heart. 2 John. This is quite a verse. This is kind of profound. 2 John verse 8. So John is warning this woman and her children. She's probably, if I had to guess, she's probably a widow. So it's a woman with her children. She loves Jesus. She's walking with Jesus. She's teaching her children the way of Jesus. They're walking with Jesus Christ. They're walking in the truth. They're walking in love. But then he has to warn her in verse 7 about these deceivers. Many deceivers are entered into the world. They don't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. It's a deceiver and it's an antichrist. And so then here's what he says, verse 8, look to yourselves. He's saying, watch out to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He didn't say, look to yourselves that you don't lose what you've gained, and so that you get a full reward. That's not what he says. Although obviously that would be implied if they steal it from you, you just lost it. But John, as the shepherd of this woman and of her family, is saying, you better watch yourself, because if they come steal it from you, we just lost everything we did. Everything we just worked for and the reward we were going to get, we just lost it. This was just stolen. So he just said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have brought, but that we receive a full reward. He's saying, watch out for these guys. They're going to come into your house. They're going to try to lie to you. Don't even let them in your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't say, God bless, have a great day. No. Cut them off. Give them no place. Because not only will you lose but we're going to lose out too. Something, eh? It's the word of God.
But even the next verse is also like that.
Yeah, it's part of the warning, yes.
Powerful verse.
Very powerful.
And it just ends with, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
Amen. Amen. And that was actually our springboard text when we studied John. Was that, let's see what Jesus teaches. You know? Let's see what his doctrine actually is. Because unless we're in that, we don't know God. We don't know. But if we abide in it, man, we got Father and Son. They're both there with us. Amen. So anyways, I think that's good. You can go through the rest on your own. But these are just some of the things that the conditions, if you want these promises, these are beautiful promises that are worth shooting for, but these are some of the conditions or the premises. You can't forget God's law. Don't forget it. You have to let your heart keep his commandments. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind those things on your neck. Write them on your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Honor the Lord with your substance. Amen. Honor him with the first fruits of all your increase. Don't despise his chastening. Don't be weary of his correction. Find wisdom. Get understanding. Lay hold on wisdom. Retain it. I mean, look at this thing. This is...
It's amazing how you see all those. It's like finding, it's like things we need to do. And then when you get to the verse where it says your sleep shall be sweet, it's that thing of laboring into rest.
Yes.
you still have to labor into finding, seeking, you know, trusting, green verbs, you know, you're going to do it. You can't just like sit back and think you're going to receive.
Exactly.
And once you've done that, then you'll have sweet rest.
Sweet rest. Yes.
Amen. Amen.